Allow me to pray before I start. Father God, we offer you this moment now as we delve into your word. Father, I pray that this would be your message, not mine, and these would be your words, not mine. Father, use this time as you will. In your name, amen. Amen. Take a seat. Good morning, everybody. If we haven't met before, my name's Stephen. I'm one of the lay ministers here at St. Mary's, and I have a particular focus, I guess, in my ministry, in pioneering, in new ways of doing church. That's what I do, which is great fun. And this week I had to fill in a form, and I don't really like filling in forms. It's one of those forms where you have to put yourself in boxes. Like, could you just comment on your ethnicity? Here's a long list of things. Could you just comment? And then, but it got quite personal. Could you comment on your relationship status? I was like, I don't know why this form needs to know this. This is personal information. But if you tick the box that says, prefer not to say, they know you're single. Like, they know that. They know that. No one who's married goes, I'd prefer not to comment on that, unless it's going really wrong. Anyway. But that's kind of how we have to do things, isn't it? We have to kind of put ourselves into little boxes. And I ticked a new box recently, which is the bald man box. And I'll tell you how this came about. A couple of months ago, I was at the barber's. And I'd noticed for a while now that in that awful moment where you're shown the back of your head, I don't like this moment, I'd start to notice, I'd noticed a thinning. And I thought, no, that can't possibly be. Is that... And then often on the screen at the 10:30 service, I would get a glance and I'd, oh, okay, something's occurring in that, or not occurring in that portion of my head, so to speak. But a couple of months ago, the barber said, and I just wanted to say, have you noticed the grey? What do you mean? Have I noticed the grey? Well, you've just got just a bit. I'm just telling you so that you can start to dye it. I know. I was like, at what point have we got to that, I mean, I'm 24, but I'm fine with grey hair. At what point have we got to where it is socially unacceptable for a 24-year-old to be thinning and have grey hair? So I shaved it because I gave in to societal pressure. I thought having no hair is better than people pointing at me for greying or balding. Someone said I look quite thuggish. I quite like, I'll take that. Because I'm the most unthuggish person you will ever meet. But I gave in because I was actually quite worried. I rang my dad. Dad, why? He's, well, I've never had a problem with my hair. Dad, that does not help. And but now my brother's worried. He's 4 years younger than me. He's 20. And now he's going, so how old were you when it started thinning? About 23. Right, okay. So he's, but we do, we worry, we're concerned about these things because society says this is how we should be and this is how things should be. So when Jesus asks, why do you worry about clothes? I say, well, Jesus, I don't think I would. I mean, he's mid-sermon on the Mount. I don't think I would have interrupted him. But had I been able to collar him later, I think this is what I might have said. Jesus, you asked us, why do we worry about clothes? Well, I'll tell you why I worry about clothes. It's because society says this is the ideal body shape. And because I don't have it, I buy clothes that are a little bit bigger to hide the fact that I am not. I don't have a six-pack. And that the only six-pack in my life is of Diet Coke in my fridge. Jesus, society says that fat and stretch marks are absolutely disgusting. So I make sure I buy tops long enough that when I raise my arm, no one sees anything. Jesus, society says that being a man under 6 foot, let alone 5'9", is a bit weird. And people don't look favorably upon that. So I wear shoes with a bit of a heel to give myself a little bit more height. Jesus, society says that sweat is disgusting, and sweat patches in particular. So I wear colours. If I get a little bit warm and a little bit hot, no one will notice. Goodbye, pale grey. Jesus' society says fashion and says this is the clothes you should be wearing. So I run so my legs are skinny so I can stretch over them tight black fabric and wear skinny jeans. Jesus' society says that you're a man and therefore you have to dress in a masculine way. So I try and wear things that aren't too feminine. I mean, I don't do very well with that. But, you know, I make sure I shop in the men's section of the store. And I make sure I wear things that are at least masculine, with a collar maybe, so I look smart. So why do I worry about clothes, Jesus? Because all too often, it's not your voice I'm listening to when I get dressed in the morning. That as I pick something out of the wardrobe, and I'll button it up and I'll put it on, I'll go, oh, I've got a meeting with them today. Will they like this? Is this all right? Did I wear this the last time I saw them? No, I think it's all right. And it's even worse if it's an interview or something important I've got to go to, I've got to make a good impression. I'm currently exploring ordination, and which means I have to go see the DDO, the Diocesan Director of Ordinance. And every morning that I have to get dressed, knowing I'm going to see her, I say, right, what would she think of this? Is this priestly? Is this... Would a priest wear that? Is this all right? What do you think of me? Because that's the kind of thing I worry about and I fear. And to this, Jesus responds. He goes, what? Don't worry about that. Can I cast your gaze upon this delicate flower? Look at it. I don't care about what? What are you talking about, Jesus? But this flower just inhabits its natural beauty. It doesn't try and change itself. It doesn't try and mask itself. It just goes, hey, I'm a flower. It stands proud and goes, I am a tulip. But the tulip isn't trying to be a daffodil, no. The tulip is standing proud and going, I am a tulip. For the daffodil over here stands proud, I am a daffodil. And the crocus, although small, but so beautiful, it's like, I am a crocus. I don't aspire to be a great tulip, for I am a crocus. That's about the limit of my flower knowledge. I don't know if you know the children's book, Elmer the Elephant. But Elmer is a patchwork elephant, quite beautiful. But he looks around at the other elephants and sees that the other elephants, they're all grey and different. So I think he squishes some berries and paints himself grey so that he'll fit in. He doesn't like the way that he's been made. And that's fine, and he fits in. Until, of course, it rains. And this berry paint that he's made washes off, and all the elephants see his inner beauty, the way he actually is, in all his marvelous created way. And that's what this passage is saying, that look at the flowers. They accept their beauty. They know who made them and how wonderfully he looks upon them. And if they can see that and look at their beauty, your beauty is, oh, it's so much greater than that. It says elsewhere in the Bible that we are fearfully and wonderfully made and that we have been knitted together. I love that because knitting takes time and practice and you have to be really good at it for it to look good. Which means that God pours himself into it, that God takes time and it's a labor of love when he creates us. Sometimes we have to ignore the way the world tells us we should be. Or the things that the world tells us we should worry about, where our clothes are from, or whether they fit right, or whether they're this season. And start to listen to a greater voice, the only voice that we really should listen to, which is of our Heavenly Father who made us. And when we readjust how we value things and whose voice we value, things seem pale in comparison. And I don't think God's saying, don't wear nice clothes, or don't eat nice food, or don't drive a nice car. But it's that is not what it's about. It's about God and our relationship with Him. And that having a Ferrari is not our identity. You may be a Ferrari driver, but that is not who you are in your deep core. Because who you are in your deep core and in your soul is a loved child of the most amazing Heavenly Father. You may then wear skinny jeans, but you are not a skinny jean person. You are one of God's children who just happens to put on tight jeans. It's about shifting how we see ourselves. And it's about shifting where we lay our value. It's interesting that it's also harvest, where we look to the beauty of the earth, to the flowers, to the fruit, to the vegetables, which one of the things I've loved about moving to Ely is that I can so readily see it around. Just before Christmas, I was by the Tesco roundabout, and I saw an entire lorry full of parsnips. I loved it. I've never seen that before. I mean, I've seen a parsnip before, but only in the supermarket. And they were falling off, like, because they were so highly stacked. And I just thought, oh, have I been there with a bag? Or had had an open-top car, they could have, like, fallen in. I love parsnips. Honey roasted. But in that image, I just got this image of the abundance of God, of how His blessings for us often do overflow. But in the bare minimum, what He gives us is our daily bread. We pray that prayer, give us today our daily bread, which literally means, Father, give me today what I need, not want. And we did an assembly this week on that exact line of the Lord's Prayer. And we were helping the children understand what is a need in life, things like water, air, and what is a want, chocolate, PlayStations. He gives us what we need. A couple of years ago, I was in Uganda, and in the church service, there's always a testimony time. But they limited the testimony time because there was English visitors, and they didn't want it to go on too long. So there were these three people. I don't remember anything the first two said, but I'm sure it was great. But the third lady just stood up and just said, I would like to thank God that this week I've had food on my table to feed my family every day. Thank you, God. Amen. And she sat down. And the place erupted with applause, with whooping, with a little bit of spontaneous singing. And sometimes I wonder if we get caught up in the worries of society and forget the core basic blessings that God gives us every day. I don't know if you've ever done art with children. But when you do art with children, there's one substance which only comes out on very special occasions. Glitter. If we do messy church and there is glitter, they are very excited. It gets everywhere. But there is a sense that glitter is very, very special. That you only use it at very important times. And that things covered in glitter are, wow, quite magnificent. And in trying to find an image of how God sees us, I thought, I'm going to use glitter. Oh, gosh, already everywhere. Oh. Here's my lesson in why we shouldn't worry. We shouldn't worry because God has chosen us and made us. We are part of His family. And He's always there for us to talk to. And He thinks we're so amazing that He's like, sprinkled us with glitter, like a children's piece of art. But not just like a little simple bit of glitter. This is going to go horribly wrong. I'm going to find glitter everywhere for months. But we are like... But we are like covered in glitter. Covered... Oh gosh, that's in my eye. I didn't think that through. But we are like covered in His love. And when we think of ourselves like this, and as we go about our lives remembering this glitter, this God's love that we are covered with, this love that was so poured out when he sent his son Jesus to die for us on the cross, everything else doesn't feel so important. Ow. Oh, gosh. Shall I pray? That feels like a good way to end things. Oh, gosh, so much glitter. Dear God, thank you for your love. Thank you that you have chosen each and every one of us and that you know us and call us by name. When we get worried or stressed or concerned about the things of the world that society says are important, help us to remember your love for us, to center ourselves on that and how you see us, covered in heavenly glitter. In your name, amen.